Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. There is tornado damage this morning in Alabama and Mississippi. At least two deaths have been reported. Two people were killed north of Montgomery, Alabama. They were in a home that was struck by a tree. Severe weather is expected to move east from the storm system. The government says the economy grew at a 2.9% annual rate from July through September, an upgrade from previous estimates. It comes despite high interest rates and chronic inflation. Congress is preparing to take up a bill preventing a freight rail strike. In the House, Michelle Fishback is a Republican from Minnesota.
Our country's economy can't handle a strike that reports would say would cost $2 billion a day.
The bill lawmakers are considering would impose a compromised labor agreement brokered by the Biden administration that was ultimately voted down by four of the 12 freight rail unions. Inflation in Europe has eased for the first time in almost a year.
Despite a modest easing, the double-digit rate still hovers near a record that's robbed consumers of their spending power and led economists to predict a recession. An EU agency says the consumer price index in the 19 countries that use the euro currency hit 10% in November from a year earlier. That was a drop from 10.6% in October, the first decrease since June 2021. Out of control inflation is being fed by high energy prices caused by Russia largely cutting off natural gas over the war in Ukraine, as well as bottlenecks in supplies of raw materials and parts, and rebounding demand after COVID-19 pandemic restrictions ended. Charles de Ledesma, London.
Indiana's Republican Attorney General asked the state's Medical Licensing Board to discipline an Indianapolis doctor who spoke publicly about providing an abortion to a 10-year-old rape victim who traveled from Ohio after its more restrictive abortion law took effect. This is AP News.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The Racine man police call the dating app predator is in jail facing charges. Timothy Olson was arrested yesterday in Franklin on preliminary charges of kidnapping and identity theft. He's also linked to the death of a Cudahy woman. Police believe Olson drugged women, then stole money and other valuables. This year's deer season was a success for Wisconsin hunters. The Department of Natural Resources says the deer harvest was up 14% this year compared to last year. Hunters killed a little more than 203,000 deer this year. Much of the credit goes to this season's mild weather and a large deer population. In sports, the Bucks are at the Knicks tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday with my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. How you doing, my friend? How was Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was good. I got to see my mom and my dad, so down in Chicago area. So how about yourself?
It was fine, man. I got some rest. And, man, you're blessed. You still got your mom and your dad.
Both in their 80s.
Wow, man.
So my dad is still running around giving speeches. So, you know, more like the Anthony Fauci kind of 80-year-old, 80-plus-year-old.
Wow, man, that's a blessing.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So I want to begin the show with... So who is that in that the Christmas scene? What's the name of that? The Ghost from Christmas Past. What's the name of that?
It's Ebenezer Scrooge. Is the one having the dream, right?
Yeah. Well, so a Ghost from Christmas Past has sprung up. Dr. Craig, his name is Scott Walker. He's being boisterous, man. He's talking a lot about things again politically, and we thought he was done with. But maybe a month or so ago, he came out saying it should only be one day for elections, and now he's talking about the Supreme Court spring elections. There is. Former Governor Scott Walker on Tuesday said if liberals win the race for Supreme Court in Wisconsin, all of the state's reforms from his time in office will be in danger. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. Activist court, as we've seen elsewhere in the country, could do almost anything, Walker told News Talk 1130 WSN's Jay Weber. If you listen to at least a couple of the liberal candidates, they sound very much aligned with some of the things we've seen in California and Pennsylvania and elsewhere. Walker says that could mean changes not only to Act 10 or right to work in Wisconsin, but could mean changes to things like redistricting that he says affect the rest of the country. Judge Dan Kelly is the leading conservative candidate for the Supreme Court. On the Republican side, so far, Walker appointed Kelly to the court back in 2016. Kelly, to me, was much like an Antonin Scalia, who was on the United States Supreme Court. Just brilliant, Walker said. And Walker's saying that if the Republicans don't win the Supreme Court seat, that they're going to undo all the things that he created, and that would be untenable. Your thoughts, Dr. Craig?
Well, the way I interpret Scott Walker is he's a political animal. I mean, he doesn't have other interests. I think Paul Ryan legitimately has, you know, various conservative ideological interests beyond being elected. Walker does not. So the question is, does he want to be a U.S. senator? Do you want to challenge Tammy Baldwin, or does he want to come back into the governorship, or does he have some other plan? Does he think he's going to be the running mate of DeSantis, let's just say, hypothetically, in the next presidential election? He is operating at a national level. I happened to stay in Airbnb up in St. Croix Falls to go hiking in August, and their cable system only had one news station on it, and it was Newsmax. And lo and behold, Scott Walker is a regular pundit on Newsmax, which I think most of your listeners know is, for those who don't find Fox News right-wing enough, it's on the further extreme and much more amateurish.
Right.
And he was trying to sound very Trumpy without being Trump, which is sort of, you know, the DeSantis brand, if you think about it. So I can see why Walker, so this is all part of some political play. Look what's happened. They've started because they were unable to take out Robin Voss, the speaker, though they almost did. Donald Trump almost did in the primary. And his candidate for governor, Tim Michels, lost, that is Donald Trump. The older version of the Republican Party, dominated by Walker, is trying to reassert itself. Voss is part of that wing. And so Walker is trying, I would say, to reassert leadership. And of course, he doesn't want a Supreme Court full of actual judges, because he used a loaded state Supreme Court, a rigged one, in order to legislate. And one of the most important things it did legislatively for him was change election law to keep him out of jail, because he shredded Wisconsin election laws, committed things I would have thought at the time would have sent anyone else to jail. But the Supreme Court then threw them all out as unconstitutional, very conveniently for Scott Walker, because he coordinated with independent expenditures, which was flat out flagrantly illegal at the time. He directed people to spend millions of dollars on his behalf in the recall election, which was illegal, is still illegal on the books, but the state Supreme Court simply reinterpreted the law.
You know, Dr. Craig, clearly he's got something up, because where he's been for the last year or so is, I think, down in Texas, and he's been getting paid $1 million to recruit young Republicans and to brainwash young people to being conservatives. And, you know, that's what he's done. But there's no question that he wants to get back in the fray. And do you think that his time has passed him by? I mean, I think that even in this state, there's not a lot of people who are willing to go back to the Scott Walker time.
Well, comebacks are tough. Look how Tommy Thompson came back, tried to come back against Tammy Baldwin and flailed, tried to reinvent himself as a hardline conservative. I presume that what the Walker-Voss wing of the party, which is very connected to Wisconsin manufacturing and commerce and the major business elites of the state, the corporate elites, is that they think that they're losing votes, that Evers is reelected with some swing voters in the suburbs because Trumpian conservatism just goes too far, is outright for insurrection. And maybe he thinks he'll look good in that way. And in the same way that George W. Bush is not considered one of the worst presidents in American history because he looks good compared to Donald Trump, which isn't saying very much. And so I just wonder if he thinks this is the way to win elections in Wisconsin and to stop the bleeding in the suburbs, because Waukesha County and Ozaukee County are trending more and more Democratic, still Republican areas, but becoming light purple.
So let me ask you, as we now look and see Alberta Darling, it wasn't so long ago, Dr. Craig, that Scott Fitzgerald, Rance Priebus, the guy that you just mentioned he was a speaker, Republican speaker.
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan. in all of that group that was able to impact Washington, D.C., all of them had this major impact on the conservative movement. They're leaving and losing their power on the state level. Do you see the fact that Alberta Darling now is gone, and the only ones left are Robin Voss and of any name recognition for the most part? Are they a little less potent as they were 10 years ago?
Oh, they're far less potent. Remember, in 2016, they were able to defeat Donald Trump in the Wisconsin primary and overwhelmingly give the win to Ted Cruz. And Trump took the party away from them once he won the election. And you saw the insurrection against Voss, and now he's removed one of the main insurrectionists, Representative Brandegen from Menominee Falls, from the caucus.
Yeah.
So she came because she's unreliable. And I remember we had that really crazed Ramchin, is that how you pronounce his name, who
yes.
ran for Timothy,
yes.
yeah, who ran for a governor in the fully insurrectionist wing. It didn't do very well in the primary. They're much weakened, but they're trying to reassert control. Voss, that was a power move, kicking Brandegen out of the caucus, and it all related to the whole Gableman investigation. Voss was forced to do by Trump, which was embarrassment of the alleged fraud in the 2020 election that doesn't exist, that you couldn't even invent, effectively. But they're trying to reassert it. I think that the primary corporate leaders of this state that engineered the Walker years in Wisconsin would like to return to something, just kind of a business republicanism that is not quite as flagrantly racist and anti-immigrant, uses that left. But that remains to be seen. It remains to be seen whether Walker can be a viable vehicle for that. There's just no doubt that any move Scott Walker makes us political. And by the way, Scott Walker and Paul Ryan were not really allies. They're very different types of people. And Paul Ryan's badly wrong and mistaken about most things, but he actually believes in things. I think Scott Walker is a shapeshifter. And by the way, that's what happened with Alberta Darling. She started out as a moderate Republican. She was on the board of Planned Parenthood. And as the party started to change, she stayed with it and stayed ahead of the curve, showing, kind of like a Mitch McConnell, that power was more important to her than any principle.
So, when you look at the fact that these players, these characters who are larger than life in the Republican Party over the last 10, 12 years, that kind of changed the face of government on the state level, are not going to be there anymore. It appears for all the world that Robin Voss sounds like he's willing to do some negotiating with Governor Evers. I mean, is there something for us to at least have some hope that maybe there's some work that can happen on the state level because of the $6 billion that's sitting there? Got to go to a break. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. And I'm glad he is. We'll be right back.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested.
If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at wesaysaveit.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 28. Westerly winds 20 to 30 miles an hour. Lows around 15 tonight, mainly clear. Daytime highs approaching 35 tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Cloudy skies expected Friday, decreasing clouds by Saturday. Upper 40s Friday, low 30s by Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
What's the future one day?
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That means my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. You know, Dr. Craig, before we went to break, I was asking you in all your wisdom if there's some hope that with an Alberta Darling gone, with the fact that, you know, a lot of the power brokers and a wounded Robin Voss, that maybe some things can happen that, you know, we probably didn't think was possible at all, with that $6 billion and Robin Voss talking like he's willing to at least hear or work with Governor Evers. Is that asking too much, or do you think this could be a breakthrough?
I am highly skeptical, unfortunately, though. I admire your holiday season optimism, Earl. And I'll say it at several levels. I mean, I had both sides. I know Governor Evers is desperate for bipartisan compromise. In fact, he has called mandated state budgets with regressive tax cuts that mostly help people made over $100,000 his agenda, middle class tax cuts, and then run on them as something that he somehow achieved. All he did is capitulated and signed it. So I'm a little worried about what he would sign off on, Governor Evers, just in order to get bipartisan compromise. I don't doubt that Voss is to the left, I mean, relatively speaking, of most of his caucus, and could find plenty of common ground with a Governor Evers who's on, you know, the right side of the Democratic coalition. Obviously, within the current party alignment, that means Voss is very much more conservative than Evers. I'm not sure. I don't want to say that they're the same politically, but one time I had lunch, and our former organizing director, who you know, Kevin Kane, who's now a union contractor in the green economy, with Robin Voss in his office at the Capitol. And the speaker, I believed him. He fancies himself an intellectual and wants to have a back and forth, and he can hold his own. He said on some of our propositions, like Medicaid expansion, for example, which is still not done in Wisconsin, one of 11 states, you know, even if you convince me, which you might be able to, he said, I could never get this caucus to do that. You have no idea how conservative and far right this caucus is. And people think it's me. It's not me. And you know what? I think he's right. I believe him. I take him at his word. And so if Robin Voss negotiates with Evers, he'll come to Evers and say, here's all I can get. And you know what? There's a worry there in my part that Evers will take it. For example, I'll give you an example. Badger care expansion, Medicaid expansion. what the Republicans traditionally want and what red states try to impose is things, poison pills that will harm working people, like work requirements. And those are so administratively burdensome, they don't act, and also, quite frankly, there has to be a job someone can hold and that can support them in order to have the work requirement. And they have to have transportation to get there. You know the story, Earl. And so people just get thrown off their health care just because of their lack of economic right. opportunity. And would Evers accept such a deal in order to get Medicaid expansion? That scares me a little. I hope he wouldn't. I'm not saying he necessarily would, but I'm saying I can't say it 100%. Let's see who, because here's the thing. Voss also said, Earl, that he wants a state legislature that's more in line with public opinion. Well, you know what? If he didn't gerrymander it so badly, it would be. If you create a legislature that it's elected regardless of public opinion, regardless of the popularity of its positions, then that's what you get. That's Robin Voss's fault. But let's say we know the budget's written by the Joint Finance Committee. So let's see who the six people that he appoints, I guess it's four people, from the Assembly Republican Caucus, whether they are more moderate, reasonable people that would do bipartisanship, even if they're conservatives, or whether they're the hardliners. We'll see about that. I think you'll tell a lot, learn a lot by his appointments to the Joint Finance Committee.
Let's talk about how critically important February is with the Supreme Court race, because being nonpartisan, there are four people who are now going to be in that race, and the top two vote getters will wind up. It's not a Democrat and a Republican, the top two vote getters. How concerned are you with that race in February?
The state Supreme Court race?
Yes.
Oh, well, God, I agree with Scott Walker. It's very, very important and pivotal. I disagree on why he thinks it will undermine the great reforms that he supposedly achieved. I think having real judges would start to have the court do what it's supposed to do, not legislate from the bench, but actually interpret the law and do it fairly, and also do it fairly for average people, not just big corporations and the powerful, which is what right-wing judges do. And I think that we might get fair districts, because a lawsuit would be in order to say that partisan gerrymandering is unconstitutional in Wisconsin. And that could happen. And also, the court itself took what amounts to legislative action to disenfranchise folks, like getting rid of drop boxes, which are safer than vote by mail, and imposing a ridiculous requirement that if a witness to an absentee ballot, which is already this hurdle that people have to cover, if the person leaves off their zip code, that is the witness, then the ballot is invalid. I'm sorry, you can look up the address, and you don't need the zip code to verify the witness. Okay, in fact, if you know, you put the address in your web browser, and it'll tell you what the zip code is of that address.
So even
it's absurd. And so they could change a lot of that.
So even if the Democrats wind up winning that seat, let's say Janet Protasiewicz or the guy out of Madison,
Everett Mitchell, who has a lot of support, including Block here in Milwaukee.
We've got to go to a break quickly. Dr. Craig Hanger.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Hi, it's Don Brown, host of This Week in Waukesha, inviting you to catch our coverage of this year's 2022 Waukesha Christmas Parade, Sunday, December 4th. The coverage starts at 3, the parade starts at 4. We'll be live in front of the Walk Radio Studios, talking to the marchers, the participants, the fans, and all the people that make this parade in this community a very special place. Waukesha Christmas Parade, covered here on Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
They were going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, right here on the Shaw 101 FM.
Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. A bomb blast hit a religious school in northern Afghanistan, killing at least 10 students.
A spokesman for the Interior Ministry says several others were wounded in the blast at the madrasa at Abak, the capital of the northern Samangam province. A resident says most of the students in the school were young boys. Video distributed by the Taliban to the media showed the blast site, a hall littered with debris, mats and shoes, with bodies and bloodstains on the floor. There has been no immediate claim of responsibility, but the Afghan affiliate of the Islamic State group has been waging a campaign of violence that has escalated since the Taliban took power in August 2021. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Tornadoes damaged numerous homes, destroyed a fire station, briefly trapped people in a grocery store, and ripped the roof off an apartment complex in Mississippi. Two people were killed in Alabama when a tree fell on their mobile home. I'm Ed Donahue.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80 plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair with your headlines. Winter has arrived with the snowy season. Snow plows are out working hard to keep the roads clear. Drivers might notice a new feature on many snow plows throughout Wisconsin. County and municipal snow plows have added flashing green lights in addition to the yellow ones. A new law was passed in April allowing this addition. Officials say green lights create a better contrast against the snow and are more visible during storms. The decision was made because of several close calls, and as they're phased in, officials hoping it will serve as a more visible reminder to slow down and proceed with caution around snowplows. Gas prices falling in Wisconsin. On Monday, prices in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Appleton fell below $3 a gallon. Statewide average gas prices also down from $3.23 a week ago to $3.15 on Tuesday. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Connor, who do we have on the phone? Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I say that this time around, I'm hoping that our governor will get serious about, in quotes, negotiating with these GOP extremists. He's got to find something that they absolutely want in the budget, and he's got to say, look, either you guys compromise with me, or I will flat out line item veto these items. You know, we can start with what's the big thing, so-called school choice, wherein the schools get to choose what students they want to take, and the public has to pay for it. I'm not quite sure what he could go after that, but that seems to me like a good start. So what do you think about that?
Dr. Craig?
Now, I like the direction the caller is going, because I think Governor Evers has been, his first two budget go-arounds, tried to be the adult in the room and has been afraid that if he line item vetoes any major portion of the budget, that the Republicans will just let it happen in order to do damage. Or in many cases, what happens is if you do not approve a new level, what happens is it goes back to the level of the previous budget. So it wouldn't necessarily eliminate the entire school choice program, which is in other parts of the statute, but it would certainly reduce its real funding because there wouldn't be any, you know, inflationary increases. But he's been reluctant to do that because he thinks the Republicans will play brinksmanship. And the caller makes a great point. Well, okay, can you line on veto something that only impacts them, right? That's something they care about as leverage. And the question is, if you can extricate the school choice, the voucher part of the budget from the public schools, which Governor Evers does not want to damage. He's been very afraid if he vetoed any big parts of the education budget, it would lead to a massive cut in school spending because it would revert to the previous levels of the previous budget. I also think there are other things the governor could do. I think the governor should veto the Medicaid budget if it doesn't include Badger Care expansion this year, and then have a showdown with them over the summer and into the fall if necessary. That has not been the governor's and his team's approach so far. But I agree with the caller. He needs to seriously negotiate, and part of it is not just to ask them nicely, but to have consequences for them not negotiating with him in good faith.
So, Dr. Craig, is it safe to say that we don't expect the governor to seek another term, and it should give him more freedom and more power, as Jack is talking about, to address these issues?
It should. You just have to understand about this governor. If I had this conversation with him directly and his people, he feels a deep moral responsibility not to damage the state. And therefore, much of what they're willing to do in order to gain leverage is off the table for him. That's why he won't veto any part of the education budget. He's afraid it'll damage school districts that have to do their budget statutorily in the fall and have them finished by the end of the year in order to go into effect the following year. And so, and also, it's pretty unclear, quite frankly, how progressive this governor really wants to be. I mean, when he says that he loves the bipartisan compromise, he's not kidding. It's not just the compromise part, that he really is very much himself in the middle. But I think he's appalled by what they've been willing to do, appalled by basically they're willing to blow things up and damage the state just for political advantage or just out of spite. And so I think, and I once had this conversation with him, I think he needs to evolve his tactics, that he has tried everything, and if they're not going to work with him, which they've proven they're not, we'll see. We will have to explore whether Robin Voss's offer is real or not, as you asked earlier, Earl, but that he has to adjust his tactics, and otherwise he is giving in to them. And I hope he is seeing that now that, I agree with you, I don't see him running for a third term, but I don't know that for a fact. It's just a speculation.
Jack? All right.
He's definitely, I mean, the Republicans have already damaged the education in this state with their simple refusal to take a $5 billion excess in our state budget and do anything with it. And that was for political advantage. They were trying to damage Evers' reputation. And then I don't know how many, over a dozen school districts had to, just to open the doors, had to pass referenda to pay for stuff that could have been some of that $5 billion budget excess could have been used for. And now the local property tax owners, our local property owners are going to be paying extra taxes on that. And this is the Republicans' idea of property tax relief, I can see. So he's got to do something about this.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. You know, that surplus is now over $6 billion.
Wow.
You know, Dr. Craig, do you think it's possible that the Republican Party now will allow the cities to get their fair share of the, tax revenue, and even a city like Milwaukee that is willing to and looking to create that 1 cent sales tax? Do you think, because Robin Voss is talking like he's ready to at least look at that, do you think he has the juice necessary to, even if he was willing to do that, make that happen?
Feelings, because it's the most aggressive kind of tax. Low-income folks, working folks pay much more. We should be getting progressive income tax money through shared revenue, but Republicans have been denying that to cities and starving them and counties for quite a long time. And so I understand. I understand why in a difficult situation, Mayor Johnson wants to do that, because he's very much short of revenue because of this Republican.
And the county.
And the county is going to be, a county can't go bankrupt per se, but what's going to happen is they're going to have less money than the state mandated services in a couple years. And so the county's even worse shape fiscally. So I would say that, unlike Governor Evers so far, though I have hope that he'll take a firmer stand now, Republicans do not give anything away for nothing. And the question is, what is the darn price? Is the price breaking up MPS? And the answer is no. And giving it, putting under suburban public control, absolutely not, right?
Right.
So we just don't know what the demand is going to be in return. They're not just going to give it to them out of the goodness of their hearts if they cared about cities and their own cities, Republican cities around the states and counties. Then they would actually do their responsibility. The state, the assumption in the state is that the state collects most of the revenue and it redistributes it to our local governments, and they've just stopped doing that.
You know, Dr. Craig, you just wonder why even the cities that are Republican leaning, who are struggling financially themselves, that they would be bringing pressure. I mean, if you look and see how many different referendums there were for education, again, in these Republican-led areas, those people should be siding in asking for their fair share back, right?
Well, there's a real dysfunction in the state, because a lot of those areas, if they're red areas, they think the problem is not their schools or their city government. They think it is terrible things going on in Milwaukee and Racine. In other words, areas that are diverse, right? And so it's almost like they're willing to take the hit themselves in order to make sure we have a check on all those terrible abuses in Milwaukee and Racine and Madison. And it's just silly. It's not the case. They are participating in something that undermines their own local governments and their own public schools. I think a lot of these state assembly backbenchers think there are public school graduates who think they're supporting their public schools. It's the darndest thing. But you're right about the referendums. The referendums show that this is not working, that people are having to pay higher property taxes to make up for a legislature that won't do its part, is not fulfilling its part of the social compact to help fund schools and fund state and local government, county government, city government, other municipal government.
So the $6 billion, you know, and I know you're not a soothsayer, but $6 billion, something's going to happen with those resources. What is your prognostication on what's going to happen with that $6 billion?
I'm concerned that since Governor Evers is not like the new Democrats, the new more progressive Democrats, and likes to do the tax cuts of the 90s, that a lot of it's going to be done in a tax cut, and it will be not a very progressive tax cut. It will mostly help people who are doing better, because that's all the Republicans will sign off on. So it's not going to be the kind of tax cut you should really do, which is something like massively increasing the homestead credit and the income tax credit that helps the working poor get by. They're the ones who are struggling with this, not only the inflationary increases, but the massive increases in utility bills are going to happen over this winter. So that's my concern, that's going to be wasted, basically.
You know, Dr. Craig, I'm in total agreement with you. We've seen surpluses before given back. And then they turn around, and the next year, there's deficits. And so for the small amount that they would give us back in the way of surpluses, that money could be better used and utilized to deal with the issues, as you talked about, insurance, you know, health insurance, badger care, and all these other things, which long term is going to be beneficial to the state and the people of the state, as opposed to whatever it is they're going to give me via a one-time check.
We'd have an extra $1.5 billion in the surplus if we had taken the badger care expansion last year. It costs us money. We pay more to cover fewer people, Earl. It's the craziest. No other state does that, actually. All the other 10 don't do that, that have not expanded their Medicaid programs. But look at all the cover of austerity in tough fiscal times, how badly underfunded our schools, our cities, our counties, our UW system that we're so very proud of, our tech college system, which is even more important to give people an on-ramp to the American dream, because it helps more working-class folks than four-year colleges. These all need to get funded. And, of course, they're talking about another reason, you know, heads you lose, tails you lose.
Well, Dr. Craig, it would be a tragedy based on where this nation is headed in the short term, recession and inflation and all of those things. There's going to be a lot of bloodletting and pain that the people in this state, in this country, are going to be feeling in the next couple of years based on where the economy is right now. It would be foolhardy, I think, to turn around and just give that money back to people in small doses when that could be better used to deal with what we know is coming. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We'll be right back.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The devil's advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and he's back in Scranton. So
I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear, because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground, because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously, and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a chance of flurries. Daytime highs approaching 28. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 15. High of 35 tomorrow. Lots of sunshine. Upper 40s Friday. Much cooler on Saturday with highs in the low 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Hite. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
When I wake up in the morning, love. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you if you've ever seen anything as outlandish and outrageous as Herschel Walker. And the fact that, you know, he's arguably one of the worst candidates in the history to run for the United States Senate. And, you know, Ron Johnson was bad enough. But Herschel Walker is an embarrassment, and yet he's dead even. What does that say about those people who are willing to disavow the fact that Herschel Walker is a damaged human being in many different instances and not quite a fair and righteous man, and yet he's dead even with a man who has worked hard on the grassroots level in his community, a minister, respectful minister that is in the seat that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King once set in, and is a bright man, and yet he's dead even with a guy who can barely read.
Yeah, you got the best qualified Senate candidate versus the least qualified, and it's a tie.
Yes,
I will say, I have three college degrees, was at the University of Georgia. I feel badly about what college football and pro football may have done to Herschel Walker. You know, right. 90% of former NFL players have CTE.
Right.
So regardless of the cause, he is not fit to be a U.S. Senator right now. He may not have always been this way. I don't know historically. I haven't gone back and looked at interviews of Herschel Walker when he was just entering college and see if he was a different person. But it's hard to tell also with an 18-year-old. What the Republican Party has built, which makes it exceptionally undemocratic, regardless of whether or not it foments actual direct violent insurrection or not, is a hatred on the part of their base for the other side that is sufficient to have them vote for their side no matter what, right? It really is love your party or leave it. And so they are voting for Herschel Walker because he is on their side, and because the various opinion leaders in the conservative movement, you know, the Governor Kemp's, the Donald Trump's, have all said you should vote for Herschel.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham.
And remember
Graham.
The cynical move, yeah, Lindsey Graham, that Mitch McConnell made when we had the second credible allegation that Herschel Walker had paid for an abortion for a girlfriend, which is hypocritical, given that he is officially allegedly completely pro-life. Mitch McConnell basically sent down the instruction, we're good, we need to keep supporting him because he'll vote as instructed. And so that's what they were voting for. And he may lose this runoff because it's no longer for the control of the U.S. Senate. In other words, Democrats will have a majority, whether regardless of the outcome of this race. But it's scary that it would be close, that there would even be a runoff between a man as qualified and as morally praiseworthy as Reverend Warnock and Herschel Walker.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is terrifying that you can get people in Georgia who should know better. I mean, they've heard him speak. They've watched him. They've watched him lie. And he clearly is not qualified to deal with, to be one of the most powerful men in the world. And yet again, this is all about the party line. And I can understand the political animals themselves, but what does it say about the American people who live in Georgia and who look at that and know that that is not, you know, right, that that shouldn't be happening, and yet they cannot resist the following these orders?
You know, when you have a party that's built on the money and the policy of conservative billionaires and the most self-seeking of corporations, it's actually your advantage to have people who cannot think independently. I saw that shift here in Wisconsin, the state legislature. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when I first started out, there were conservative Republican legislators who were still open-minded and you could talk to and you could get to support your bill or to vote for a particular position because they listened to the arguments. One of the transitions that became even more direct under Walker was they kept electing folks who weren't even capable of that. In other words, when you talked to them or saw them in a hearing up on the stage when you were testifying, it was like talking to a brick wall. There was they were not going to do anything other than take their instruction. And so I think that Herschel Walker is just the most visible manifestation of what that means. They don't want legislators. They want people who will take orders.
You know, Dr. Craig, and I have said this numerous times, and I'm going to repeat it again. The real danger that this nation faces is not from without, it's from within. And we can spend $1 trillion or $2 trillion on military armament and be concerned about Russia and China. But if we can't fix what's going on inside of our government, Dr. Craig, on the city, the county, and the state level, on the national level, we're going to implode anyway.
If you take a step back, if there are any extraterrestrials observing us, they'd be observing us like anthropologists looking at a primitive culture, right?
Yes. That
they'd be very advanced. They would not be kidnapping people for no reason and all the stuff out there. But they would wonder, the species faces an existential threat, runaway climate change. Really, it cannot, there's not no political solution to it that it cannot that could occur without being led by the United States. So this threat internally is a threat to the whole stability of human civilization because they are the only conservative party in the developed world that is still denying climate change and standing in the way of all action.
Hey, Dr. Craig, great as always talking to you. I really, really appreciate it. Great information. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Earl.
Thank you. All right, we got to go. I want to thank everybody who made the show go. Connor, great music, man, as always. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.